In the lands around the Circle Sea, it was generally agreed that one way to achieve a long life was not to have a meal with her ladyship. The jewellery of one hand alone carried enough poison to inhume a small town. She was stunningly beautiful, but with the kind of calculated beauty that is achieved by a team of skilled artists, manicurists, plasterers, corsetiers and dressmakers, and 3 hours solid work every morning. When she walked, there was the faint squeak of whalebone under incredible stress. The boys were learning. As she talked, they didn't watch her figure, they watched her fingers. "And thus," she said, "let us consider the position before the founding of the guild. In this city, and indeed in many places elsewhere, civilization is nurtured and progresses by the dynamic interplay of interests among many large and powerful advantage cartels. In the days before the founding of the guild, the seeking of advancement among these consortia invariably resulted in regrettable disagreements, which were terminated with extreme prejudice. These were extremely deleterious to the common interest of the city. Please understand that where disharmony rules, commerce flags. And yet, she clasped her hands to her bosom. There was a creak like a galleon beating against a gale. Clearly there was a need for an extreme yet responsible means of settling irreconcilable differences. She went on. And thus was laid the groundwork for the guild. What bliss! The sudden peak in her voice guiltily jerked several dozen young men out of their private reveries. It must have been, to have been present in those early days when men of stout moral purpose set out to forge the ultimate political tool short of warfare. How fortunate you are now in training for a guild which demands so much in terms of manners, deportment, bearing, and esoteric skills, and yet offers a power once the preserve of only the gods. Truly the world is the mollusk of your choice." Chidder translated much of this behind the stables during the dinner break.
"I know what terminate with extreme prejudice means," said Cheesewright loftily. "It means to inhume with an axe."
"It bloody well doesn't," said Chidder.
"How do you know, then?"
"My family have been in commerce for years," said Chidder.
"Huh," said Cheesewright.
"Commerce." Chidder never went into details about what kind of commerce it was. It had something to do with moving items around and supplying needs, but exactly what items and which needs was never made clear. After hitting Cheesewright, he explained carefully that terminate with extreme prejudice did not simply require that the victim was inhumed, preferably in an extremely thorough way, but that his associates and employees were also intimately involved, along with the business premises, the building, and a large part of the surrounding neighbourhood, so that everyone involved would know that the man had been unwise enough to make the kind of enemies who could get very angry and indiscriminate.
Gosh, said Arthur.
"Oh, that's nothing," said Chidder. "One Hogswatch night, my granddad and his accounts department went and had a high-level business conference with the Hubside people, and 15 bodies were never found. Very bad, that sort of thing. Upsets the business community." "All the business community, or just that part of it floating face down in the river?" said Tepic. "That's the point. Better it should be like this," said Chidder, shaking his head. "You know, clean. That's why my father said I should join the guild. I mean, you've got to get on with the business these days. You can't spend your whole time on public relations."
The end of the crossbow trembled. He liked everything else about the school, the climbing, the music studies, the broad education. It was killing people that had been preying on his mind. He'd never killed anyone. "That's the whole point," he told himself. "This is where everyone finds out if you can, including you. If I get it wrong now, I'm dead." In his corner, Merisette began to hum a discouraging little tune. There was a price the guild paid for its license. It saw to it that there were no careless, half-hearted, or, in a manner of speaking, murderously inefficient assassins. You never met anyone who'd failed the test. People did fail. You just never met them. Maybe there was one under there. Maybe it was Chidder, even, or Snoxel, or any one of the lads. They were all doing the run this evening. Maybe if he'd failed, he'd be bundled under there. Tepic tried to sight on the recumbent figure.
"Ahem,"
coughed the examiner. His throat was dry. Panic rose like a drunkard's